WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Now we'll have a discussion that comes up at my place pretty often. Are teens to blame for everything? Well, if you don't clean up after yourself or you slack off around the house, you will hear about it. But if we zoom out beyond my living room, there is a greater feeling among our young people that adults aren't protecting them, and instead, they're demonizing them. Take policies like the failed snap curfew proposal in Chicago, for instance, which would have let the police superintendent impose a curfew at any time in any location after the city saw several violent incidents at teen gatherings. Other examples? Well, young people are banned from places like Millennium and Maggie Daly Parks after 6 p.m. on weekends. And weekends at Navy Pier? Well, no strolling without adult supervision. Now, while some of this is great and it's necessary, what's also necessary for young people is the space to just be and do some of the things that many of us who were teens long ago got to do. That's why events like Downtown Day exist in Chicago. It brings kids who don't normally venture downtown to explore the loop. Bottom line here is we know that teens are often scapegoated. We know that some of them struggle to gain the trust of adults. And vice versa, teens have trust issues too. But we also know the psychological effects here could be damaging long term. So we put together a great panel for you. They'll explain how events like Downtown Day are opening doors for hundreds of Chicago kids from underserved communities. They'll dig into how adults can best support teens. And they'll help us understand the mental health impact if and when they don't. And we'll also hear directly from a teenager. At the table was Jamal Cole, CEO of My Block, My Hood, My City. Demarion Spann, who's a high schooler and member of Mayor Brandon Johnson's Youth Commission, also a member of My Block, My Hood, My City's Explorer Program. And Dr. John Walkup, who's chair of the Pritzker Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health at Lurie Children's Hospital. I started by asking Jamal about Downtown Day and the goal.
Well, we all heard the saying that some teenagers in Chicago have never been downtown. That's just not about geography. I feel like that's an injustice. You know, a lot of kids, the only time they've ever seen live music was a Bucket Boy. They get to Lake Michigan and they say, what ocean is that? And I'm not just saying this to say this. Like, I've been volunteering at Cook County Jail for over 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I talk to teenagers that look out the window and I say, hey, you see those skyscrapers? Just like somebody built those skyscrapers from the ground up, you can be the architect of your own destiny. So Downtown Day is just getting a bunch of kids downtown mid-July, giving them $50 to explore and do everything they wanted to do, just never had the ability to do because they didn't have any money. So that's what it is. So,
how'd it go this year?
It was great. You know, we didn't have any incidents as predicted. Kids got to, well, thank you to the Loop Alliance. Thank you to the Magnificent Mile Association. Thank you to everybody that donated to make it happen. We had nearly 1,000 kids coming downtown. We could have easily had 5,000. We had to cut it off because funding is just so low for nonprofits around the city. But kids got to explore. They got to go to Navy Pier. They got to go to the Sears Tower. They got to go to the boat rides. They got to go to the museums. Everything for free that day. And shout out to Portillo's for sponsoring the food that day. So it was an amazing day. Downtown Day is a celebration for youth in Chicago. It was just amazing.
Yeah. You said that it happened without incident, which is what people were expecting. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. It's like that's just in response to all the curfews. There was going to be a curfew that was going to fine kids $250 for being downtown past 8 o'clock. And so I feel like that's what I was talking about. We're sending a dehumanizing message to youth that your presence is a threat and needs to be monitored and controlled. And that really impacts how young people see themselves and their rights in their own city.
Yeah. Let's hear from you, Demarion. You participated in Downtown Day for the last few years, right?
Yes.
What was it like for you?
Downtown Day has always been about exposure. I'm fortunate enough to be able to go downtown and explore downtown through like city meetings. But I have friends like who plays on my basketball team with me, and we see each other almost every day. But they never even seen like the Ferris wheel in Navy Pier. So like just being able to like witness how my impact could be on my peers by like just connecting them with a program and allowing them to come downtown and see this, it's just like it's a wow. It's a shocker to me. To see like something that the city talks about so much, and it tells others we have this to offer, but the youth in the city has never experienced it. So that's how it always meant for me for the last 3 years.
Yeah. So lots of exposure for your peers, but I want to know what the most exciting part about it for you.
Well, the most exciting part for me is just like seeing my peers happy. I mean, just seeing them like being able to enjoy themselves outside of the community, being able to experience where they live and have the right to where they live. It's a right to be able to experience downtown. So the snap curfew ordinance was just I think it was very direct who it was for. Just being able to see my peers experience it despite what has happened through the city council, through the mayor's office, because of my block, my hood, my city has always been the best part.
Who do you think it was for? What did you mean by that statement?
I'm pretty sure we've all heard of the teen takeovers, as they call them. And it was just a response to the black and brown children that go downtown and these children who just try to have fun and try to be seen and try to be heard. Majority of those children comes from communities like North Lawndale, South Lawndale, Englewood. So it was for those students.
Dr. Wacob, what do you think of this concept, Downtown Day?
Oh, I think anything that kind of exposes young people to positive events and gives them an opportunity to build their world, that's all to the good on the mental health side.
Yeah. The community impact is key here. It was interesting hearing Demarion talk about just him, the joy he gets watching his peers connect in that and roam around in these spaces that they normally don't frequent. But talk about how community can affect a child's development.
Well, you know, strong communities build strong families or support strong families. Strong families build strong kids. And strong families build strong communities. It's an interactive process.
Yeah.
And anything that you can do to kind of participate, working with youth, working with families, working in the community, we need all of those kinds of things going on for young people to do their best.
So tell me about the flip side then, right? When what happens to a child when there is no connection to their community? What are the impacts there?
Yeah, you know, a number of the problems that we face in the city with young people today, many of those are really the results of families not being where they need to be and supported by their communities the way they need to be supported. And really, our communities not getting the kind of support they need to kind of create environments that are stable, predictable, safe. Those kinds of things just make it really hard for kids to kind of find their way in the world.
Mm-hmm. Jamal, lawmakers, business owners, you know, in and across the city, what's the general consensus there when it comes to teens? Do they trust young people?
No, not at all.
What could they do to make to be more inclusive, you think?
Well, I don't think that youth trust them either. I mean, you know, when you look like a Call of Duty officer, when you pull youth over, youth jump. When they hear sirens, I can't tell you how many youth tell me that please turn on their sirens just to mess with them in the morning and wake them up. Like, youth are traumatized. And I feel like when I see teenagers that are homeless sleeping in Cole Park on the South Side, I ask them, like, what are you doing? Oh, I just got out of jail. I was like, well, they let you out of jail with no shoes and no place to stay? They did. I was like, what did you go to jail for? Oh, I went to jail for stealing a car. I'm like, okay, well, how'd you steal a car? Well, I broke the window. I took the ignition cap off. I saw a red wire and blue wire. I twisted it together and it started. I was like, man, you sound like a Microsoft engineer right now. You can do that at the night, break into it. Yeah, I can do it, Jamal. So we just have to like flip how we think about kids. And we need people that, listen, you don't have to be a politician. You don't have to know what you're doing. If you have it in your heart to pull youth up by the bootstraps and help them out, that feeling of usefulness will sustain you. And so start something, do something. And that's kind of like, that's my mentality. What can you do to make a difference on your block?
Mm. Demarion, do you and your friends feel like you are trusted by the adults that you encounter in public spaces?
And I think it's just because of that stigma that when youth are around, it's going to be chaos or it's going to be fights. So I think that's the stigma that automatically comes with us, like when we enter public spaces, especially downtown. You could just tell by how others look at us, how they respond to us. They like, and especially when it's a group of us and we are mannerable. We hold doors. We say thank you. We say you have a good day. It's a shocker. Because many don't expect that. They expect the chaos, but it's not always chaos. And I think the chaos isn't even meant to destruct, it's to be heard. I think that's the key thing that many forget is that youth just want to be heard, because in our community, communities like North Lawndale has been like not invested in so long that the youth are tired of it. They want to stand up. We want to have something in our community we can go to. Only movie theater in the community was closed down. And to your question that you asked earlier, do strong community build reflecting children? I think it do. And a perfect example of that is Diet High School. Diet High School was on the verge of being shut down. And the community members came together, Alderman Jeanette Taylor, board member G2 Brown, they all came together and they did a hunger strike. And that hunger strike, they was able to get Dyer High School reopened in 2016 with a freshman class of 150 students. And since then, Dyer High School has recently won a state championship. So once the community come together and bond and fight for what's right and fight for investments that the community not only want, but they need, it reflects in the students and it reflects in student achievement.
Dr. Walkup, I want to go back to a word that we've been talking about, which is trust. Mm-hmm. What's the importance of trusting adolescents to be independent?
I mean, for people to grow up and be strong, they got to, at some point or another, be able to look in the eyes of adults and kind of see within that adult the confidence that they have that they can make good decisions and function independently. You know, a lot of what we struggle with on the mental health side is, you know, communities that struggle, families that struggle, and so the kids really don't have that opportunity to have that kind of an adult in their life, and that can really help them kind of be the confident person that they can move into their future and make good decisions.
So mentorship is key, you think?
Well, you know, I'm a big family guy. You know, a lot of what we have to do nowadays is we have to have 1,000 different solutions because our families and communities aren't as strong, as capable as they need to be in order to raise kids in a kind of healthy and predictable way. And we have to invest in a variety of different places in order to do that. And we spend probably a lot more money than we would need to if we really kind of had the support for families, the support for communities, and let them do the job of raising their kids and doing what they need to do, mm-hmm. and having that experience with kids where they can look in their parents' eye and in the kind of neighbor's eye and have that kind of sense of trust and confidence.
Yeah. And thinking of just that lack of trust and that sense of confidence that you're speaking about, it's got to do something to a kid's psyche and even probably their path to adulthood. Right? Not having someone or feeling like the adults in your life don't believe in you. And then the strangers you encounter, right? They just look down on you. They're scoffing at you and your friends. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple of different pathways. We see young people who are so inhibited by the fact that no one has confidence in them, that they don't know how to talk. They don't know how to relate. They don't know how to assert themselves. Even kind of basic stuff within a classroom makes it difficult for them because they're expected to kind of step up and perform. And on the other hand, we see lots of young people who get angry and are really upset because there's just nothing there for them when they really look into the eyes of the adults around them. And I think that's that kind of pathway. And what you're hearing about today are all kinds of opportunities that kids have in the city that are great for them, but they're all opportunities that we need to kind of build, but we need to build them because we just probably aren't doing what we need to do at the community and family level.
Yeah. Jamal, still on this lack of trust here. I mean, how does the general lack of trust, in your view, impact, your group's ability to get these teens connected with their communities?
Yeah, it just takes consistency. The teenagers that you meet in August is not going to be the same student you hang out with in December. They need to keep on seeing you. They're so used to people coming in and out their lives that when I say, hey, I'm Jamal Cole, I want to take you on a field trip downtown, that's not even the same person that I'm going to know a few months from now. Once mm-hmm. they get used to seeing me, they'll open up. And we always talk about mentorship. Listen, mentorship might be buying somebody a Metro PCS phone, or might be buying their parents a couch, or they might get them an Uber at two. Whenever they give you an opportunity and they give you the olive branch to build that relationship,
yeah,
it's up to you to be consistent. And that's it's really not exposure to businesses. It's exposure to you, Sasha. It's exposure to you. It's like the people that they meet are positive role models, yeah, and that's what encourages them.
Demarion, how do you feel about the snap curfew that we've talked about, or just even being the fact that you require adult supervision now to be in places like Navy Pier and Six Flags after certain hours? Is that strange to you, or does it seem fitting?
It's really strange. I think it snatches the freedom of youth. And I say that, and it's not a good thing, because how will youth learn how to navigate throughout the world on their own if they always have to have someone overseeing them or watching them? That's the question that it leaves for me. I think the problem is they want everyone to be everyone. Think youth has to be micromanaged because they'll do this wrong or they'll make this happen. But how would are we expected to learn from our experiences and learn from the things in life when we always have someone overwatching us or overseeing us? And I think that's the thing I love about my block, my hood, my city, their exposure. When we go on explorations, when we're networking,
mm-hmm.
We're not overwatched by our mentors or our program managers. They let us go alone and talk to these business owners and these CEOs, and that allows us. So what did you learn from your experience when you talked to this CEO from when you talked to the second CEO?
Nice.
I think that's what I love about the program the most, is that you're a youth, but they're going to allow you to have freedom, and they're going to allow you to learn yourself while exploring the city that you live in.
So, Dr. Walkup, you've got the ears right now of mostly adults, I think it's safe to say. How can we best support teens across the city?
You know, I was just thinking about what we were talking about there. It's a complicated equation, because in order for kids to kind of be able to function independently over time, it has to start really, really early.
So how independent should a kid be by, say, 16 and then 18?
They should be really independent.
By 16?
Yeah, they should have a lot. I mean, we're talking about driving cars, right?
Yeah, that's true.
If they're going to drive a car, they have to have a sense of their own personal autonomy, their personal authority, but they also have to have a sense of deep responsibility. And all of that stuff gets nurtured in the home and in the community. And that's kind of why you'll hear me talking about family and community a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because that's the origin of all of those skills. And you meet young people who have had that experience, and people who haven't but have kind of come to develop that kind of autonomy and personal authority and responsibility. And you see it, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful.
I mean, I have, she's 17 now, and I'm thinking, how independent did I allow her to be at 16 last year? Yeah, she got her license. My now 18-year-old drives quite a bit. They both have part-time jobs, so they get to, go out. They take public transportation. They move around the city on their own, I'd say. I think that's maybe as far as I would go in terms of this independence. Because, Jamal, I mean, I'm thinking back to when I was 16.
Yeah.
What were you doing when you were 16?
Yeah, when I was 16, I was doing the wrong things. My role models were the dope boys or the drug dealers. My role models were the people that, had TVs in their trucks. And so, that was, I didn't see a college graduate until I was 18.
Yeah.
And it was just seeing a black guy that went to Marquette University that graduated. Right away, I said, wow, I can do it. It's just because I saw somebody that I did it before.
Yeah.
And that gave me so much confidence. And so I went to my guidance counselor and said, I want to go to Howard University. She said, why? I was like, I just seen a guy that graduated from college. And she was like, well, Jamal, steps to it. So I just think exposure is super important,
mm-hmm.
because if you show kids better, they can do better.
Yeah. So real quick from all of you. What would your advice be to policymakers coming up with these, you know, going through all these planning meetings at city council and coming up with these different proposals? How can they help youth feel heard and seen and included and not demonized? You first, Demarion.
I think mine is really simple. It's two things. Believe in us and just trust in us. We're the next leader. You like policymakers have to understand they're the leaders of today, but the youth is the leaders of tomorrow. It's not always going to be the older people who we have in office now. The youth who we are putting these stigmas on have to lead our city, have to lead our nation someday. So trust in us and just believe in the youth.
Advice to policymakers, Jamal?
Yeah, I would say, you know, they say, ask not what the government can do for you. What can you do for the government? I challenge the people in Chicago, ask not what the policymakers can do for you. What can you do? And it's about what can you do to work with your neighbor, your block club captain, your pastor, the local community group. I think that change starts from the block level and not from the city level inward. So what can you do instead of what can policies do? That's what I would say.
Last word to you, Doctor.
Yeah, policy people, they have an opportunity to pick who they listen to. And if they're not listening to young people, they're really missing a chance to kind of understand where the real solution lies.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for now. Dr. John Walkup is chair of the Pritzker Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health at Lurie Children's Hospital. Demarion Spann is a high schooler and member of Mayor Brandon Johnson's Youth Commission, as well as a member of My Block, My Hood, My City's Explorer program. And Jamal Cole, CEO of My Block, My Hood, My City. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by William Balk and Aryan Kumar. It was edited by Daniel Tucker and Meha Ahmed. And it was mixed by Micah Yasin. We dig deep into ways Chicagoans are creatively tackling big problems and making our city more welcoming for people of all ages. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.